the supervisors will convene. Join us for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The board will be convening today as the Board of Supervisors only. Do a roll call at this time. Supervisor Houck?
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Popson?
Here.
Thank you much.
Before we get started, I would like to recognize Congressman from office representative, I saw her somewhere, Erin Ryan is right there. Welcome. Also, former supervisor for District 4, Grace Bennett is here. And I'd also like to congratulate our new unit chief for CAL FIRE, Fire Warden Greg Rowe. I don't know if there's another state representative that might be here that Anyway, okay. So with that, the Board of Supervisors welcomes you to the special meeting. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. If you wish to speak on an item, please complete a speaker's card, one of these blue ones, identifying the items and return it to the board clerk. If you wish to speak on a matter that appears on the agenda, you may do so during public comment. Persons speaking during public comment will be limited to 3 minutes, or depending on the number of persons wishing to speak. It may be reduced to allow members of the public the opportunity to address the board. Except as otherwise provided by law, no action or discussion shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Special meeting comments are limited to those items on the agenda only by Government Code Section 5495.4.3. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments to individual supervisors or staff are not permitted. All right, knowing all that, good morning, and we'll start off with public comment from Richard Marshall.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Comseth and members of the board. I'm Richard Marshall, rancher in Scott Valley and President of the Siskiyou Water Users Association, whose membership includes KRCE, Copco Lake, our ranch, and the Klamath River Guides. I wanted to speak to you today in particular about the KRC Mitigation Fund, which is not on the agenda, but it's part and parcel, I think, of the whole issue that's going on.
You need to keep it on the agenda item, please.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the Mitigation Fund.
It's not on the agenda.
Well, that's why I thought I'd add another public comments.
Well, public comments are limited to just what's on the agenda. I apologize. That's the only way.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then on the agenda, I would just talk about the Copco Road situation, which is a terrible mess. And it should have been taken care of a long time ago. It's emblematic, I think, of the thinking process that goes on with KRC, where they basically don't think that the county of Siskiyou has a role to play in this process. And they're just treating our county, our citizens, and the Board of Supervisors as shallow. And I think that's wrong. I think the Board of Supervisors, through its county council, needs to do something, take some action in regards to this, to shut this down while things get worked out by the county. Thank you.
Thank you. William Simpson.
Through the chair. Sorry.
Yes.
Angela Gibbs, county administrator. If you would like, we can have county council just explain about public comment at a special board meeting so that it's understandable.
Okay. Go ahead, council.
Sure. So under the Brown Act, at a special meeting, public comments are limited to those items that are on the agenda. However, at a regular board meeting, anything within the board's jurisdiction is available for public comment.
Good morning, Mr. Simpson.
Good morning, Chairman Copsa, Supervisors. My name is William Simpson. I'm a rancher and a resident of the county here. I'm here to talk about the road up there at Copco and the lakes and the impact of the removal of the water from the dams. from my perspective, what I see happening up there is kind of a smash and grab. We have economic forces outside of our county who are interested in controlling our natural resources, especially our water. Regardless of the socioeconomic impacts upon citizens and fragile economies that we are currently experiencing. And the removal of the beneficial water that was publicly owned under the auspices of the Klamath Basin Compact Act, the citizens of Siskiyou County have now suffered provable financial loss and loss of beneficial water resources in Kopko and Iron Gate Lakes, as well as the economic value that was provided by those lakes. As you know, Klamath Dam Removal Project, now proceeding under Klamath River Renewal Corporation, KRRC, as the general contractor, has contracted numerous companies from outside our county and state for the purposes of removing dams in the Klamath River. However, through a process that strikes many legal scholars as being illegal, the dam removal project under KRRC has now become a public project because the lion's share of the funding for the dam removal costs, plus known and unknown liabilities, which might reach hundreds of millions of dollars, is now being funded by the state of California and Oregon. Regardless of any alleged delinquencies in the county's negotiation process for Kopko Road upkeep and repairs, which they allege, McMillan Construction from Boise, Idaho, Kiewit Construction from Woodcliff Lake, New Jersey, J.R. Merritt from Vancouver, Washington, and Resource Environmental Solutions from Bel Air, Texas, are together making hundreds of millions of dollars at the expense of our citizens and the county roads, namely Kopko Road, which was built and maintained with California state federal dollars. As you know, Kopko Road, from milepost 9 to milepost 20, there are no fog lines, and there's dense fog up there, and there's no center line. Kopko Road was not built to serve for access for profiteer contractors and vendors making hundreds of millions and literally destroying the road as they get richer, running heavy industrial vehicles by the dozen over the road daily, with some loads, in many cases, that won't even pass on a scale on I-5. Now Kopko Road has become a dangerous gauntlet between milepost 9 and milepost 20 with deep potholes. Supervisor Halp was just up there and saw this. The road is in that stretch is barely one lane wide, and parts of the chip asphalt are breaking off into the massive mud pit that was formerly Iron Gate Lake. These companies and their vendors are only in the area to remove the Klamath River dams. Their actions have devalued private property and have caused unreasonable and undue financial and emotional hardship on the citizens of that area, who make up what California calls disadvantaged communities by definition, who live on and around the lakes being drained for dam removal. The quiet enjoyment of their properties and homes has been lost due to the industrial noise levels and traffic, as well as dust, which contains God only knows what. And in many cases, we expect wells to go dry from the change in hydrology. This entire dam removal project is being funded by a majority of public tax dollars, making the project by KRRC a public project. Even though it started as an underfunded proposal by Pacific Corp, the state of California and Oregon have stepped in with the lion's share of funding, making the project a public project by definition. Public projects that require any takings or devaluation of private property or losses sustained by private citizens as a result of any public project, including the dam removal.
I need you to wrap it up, please.
Okay, well, I drove 3 hours for this.
I understand.
Yeah, I only have one page.
The 3 minutes is up, so I just need you to wrap it up. You can leave the comments with us so that we can finish it as well.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, so in closing, the deep clay that we see on the banks of this remains of the lake present an exigent risk to wildlife and livestock. RES indicated they'll be fencing off shorelines to keep animals from being trapped in the mud. However, such fencing will prevent wildlife, deer and elk and livestock, including horses, from accessing their natural water rights, which predate those of even indigenous peoples. The evolution of the losses sustained by private uncompensated citizens now extends to their personal private vehicles, involving unusual and excessive wear and tear on their vehicle, tire shocks, suspension, wheel bearings, exhaust systems, brakes, fuel costs, and vibrational wear to the aspects of the vehicle. I urge this Board of Supervisors to take immediate and effective measures to protect the health, safety, and welfare of its constituent citizens. I thank you for this time.
Dimitri Vorek, I think it is.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dimitri Vorek. I live at Kopko Lake, close to dam. And the only one question I can't get
is how long this crew can work. Because last year, I heard them working all the time, and on the weekdays, they start early morning. Anybody can tell me how many days a week they're allowed to work, because they're going to start demolishing the concrete in June. That's where your windows are open. I can hear even when my windows are closed right now. But for example, this Sunday, I heard them start working at 7 o'clock. Sunday. So that means they work 7 days a week. So do you have any idea how
I think we'll get that answer. Where is Chelsea? Maybe you can answer that when you get to your presentation. Okay.
Everything else is not on agenda. Thank you.
Rick, is it Dowdy?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Morning. My name is Rick Dowdy. I'm from Copper Lakes. I'm close to the dam. Really didn't come here with a plan or anything. I just got to do what I can to try to save the dams. There's not much I can say, except it's like a crime against humanity, the wildlife, fish, and to just stand by and let it happen, I got to say something. And I think it has a lot to do with the World Economic Forum. Global warming didn't work because the Earth's actually cooling. Climate change isn't working because climate changes. Their pandemic didn't kill as many people as they wanted. And I've heard them say they're coming after the water now. They get control of the water, they can get control of people. And I don't think there's anybody in here that's a member of the World Economic Forum. We'll all be peons, and I think we need to stand up and fight against it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in-house for public comment? Okay. And while Ms. Linder comes up, is there anyone online, Ms. Nielsen?
Showing none online.
Thank you.
And I'll fill out my speaker card. So I'm Danielle Lindler, Jefferson Resource Company. I live at 12230 North Old Stage Road in Weed. And good morning, members of the supervisors.
Good morning.
I'm here because I saw on the agenda Copco Road Safety. And obviously our office has had a tremendous loss with the death of Ben Stone and Jessica Stone. Ben Stone and I worked for my company since 2015, and Jessica since 2017. For those that may not know, they were killed in a head-on collision on Cockrow Road, December 29th, with all four kids in the car. The kids suffered some major injuries. Thank you, Wendy. But they are healing. But now they're dealing with the aftermath of being an orphan and also being separated. So the four children, two are in Santa Rosa now, living with Ben's 70-year-old parents, and two are here in Wheat. So not only lose their parents, but the children are now separated. And so I'm here to put a face to the dangers of Copco Road. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in house? Seeing none, nothing online?
None
again?
Online.
Okay, so let's move on to item 4A. CKM Environmental. I think that's you, Ms. Murphy. Good morning.
That is I. Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Supervisors. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to speak today about what has been done over the last year. General, yes, ma'am.
Your name for the
oh,
record.
Sorry.
Thank
this
you.
Is Chelsea Murphy with CKM Environmental. I am the PM on behalf of the county for the Klamath Dam Removal Project. So I'll be talking today about what.
Hearing, is it? Hold on.
Yeah.
A minute.
Are you going to
back here?
Do I need to speak louder? Oh, I'm so sorry.
The microphone.
Oh, the mic.
It's on.
Oh, I just
see the
get
system.
Into it. Okay.
Yeah. The
yeah,
system
you
is not good.
If it'll pull up a little closer to you, pull the whole stand. There you go.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hold on. Go ahead and test, and we'll see here.
Test. We good? I will project. I can project. I've been to a lot of sports games. So I just wanted to say thank you for having me. I'm going to go over a couple very important topics today. I'm also going to go over what happened last year with dam removal in general, not in a whole lot of specifics, and then what to expect currently, what's going on currently, and what to expect in 2024 generally. So there's a couple very important topics that we're going to be covering in today's meeting. Myself, but other county staff as well as other organizations like California Department of Fish and Wildlife are here to speak to some of these topics, particularly those about public safety and roads, which we just heard from the public is a major issue. We are aware. We're working very closely with KRC, their contractors, and CDFW on getting the roads fixed and safe for public transport. So drawdown has begun. We are aware of this. In 2023, the activities were primarily focused on pre-drawdown. So that means setting up the workers' village, creating project roads within the FERC boundary for the dam removal, staging areas, etc. Removal of COPCO 2 happened last year, which was in between COPCO 1 and Iron Gate, a very small dam on the river, and then work on the fish hatchery, which is nearly complete, and CDFW is going to speak to that here in a minute. 2024, this is when the big activity is going to happen with the dams. This is when you're going to see Iron Gate, COPCO, and J.C. Boyle coming out. As you are aware, drawdown begun in early January. We had asked that KRRC be here today to speak to the drawdown, but unfortunately, due to project activities, they were unable to make it. They sent me a statement to read instead, so I will do so now. This is the statement from KRRC. On January 4th, 2024, FERC granted authorization for the Renewal Corporation to undertake drawdown of Lower Klamath Project reservoirs and certain facilities decommissioning activities. Iron Gate Reservoir drawdown was initiated on January 11th with the opening of the low-level outlet gate. On January 16th, the first two controlled explosive blasts at the diversion culverts was performed at J.C. Boyle Dam near Keno, Oregon to initiate drawdown. The reservoir drained over a period of approximately 17 hours. On January 18th, a second blast was performed to open the adjacent culvert for use as a river diversion facility during dam decommissioning. On January 23rd, which is today, the adit at COPCO 1 dam will be opened to initiate the drawdown of COPCO Reservoir. Drawdown at COPCO and Iron Gate Reservoirs is expected to continue until approximately the end of February. In the subsequent several months, the Renewal Corporation will monitor river flow and water quality conditions through the hydroelectric reach and the downriver into the Pacific Ocean. Significant community outreach was done by the Renewal Corporation in the weeks leading up to drawdown. That outreach included, among other efforts, letters to community members around the project reservoirs and those downriver of Iron Gate Dam, detailing the dates of drawdown, potential observations, and contact information for community members to reach out to the Renewal Corporations with questions or concerns. The Renewal Corporation will be monitoring drawdown around the reservoirs with on-the-ground crews and use of drones. During the week of January 22nd, crews are expected to perform repairs on COPCO Road at milepost 13 to rebuild a section of roadway that has failed, likely as a result of poor drainage and drawdown of Iron Gate Reservoir. Additional activities underway and completed include work on the new Lakeview Bridge continues with expected completion in February. And for those of you that don't know where that is right below Iron Gate Dam, the bridge over the Klamath, right there. Restoration activities, including vegetation planting and limited assisted sediment flushing, are expected to scale up in February. So again, that was the statement from KRRC. So to reiterate, drawdown of COPCO 1 is occurring today. There is no public access for viewing due to safety concerns. KRRC will be videotaping the drawdown like they did at J.C. Boyle. For those of you who are able to see that, that was live streamed and is up on YouTube. We can post that to the website, to social media, so folks can see that. Unfortunately, the live stream is not possible at COPCO 1 due to the lack of internet connectivity. So there will be a video that we will post so folks can see that. In addition, there will be blasting noises coming from that region today, so we wanted to make sure that the public knew that if they hear loud noises up in that area, that it's planned project activities. So, that being said, Iron Gate, there were some folks that were able to go out from the county to go see Iron Gate when the gate was opened to initiate drawdown. I believe we have a few photos for some people to see. As we had anticipated, the water coming out of Iron Gate was incredibly turbid, very muddy. For those of you that live along the river, you have seen the turbid waters. That is anticipated to continue, and it was an expected part of the drawdown. So there are some photos there of the very dark, turbid water. These were taken on the 11th of January. And there's another photo there. It's a little bit hard to see in this light, but that water is the color of chocolate milk. Okay, as noted in the KRRC statement, as well as by the public, and the county is very aware of the road issues on Copco Road. We have been coordinating very closely. The roads department, county staff, myself have been coordinating very closely with the KRRC, with their contractors, and with CDFW on the state of the roadways. Public safety is of utmost importance to the county, and this is the biggest safety issue that the public has at the moment, is the condition of Copco Road. So as a reminder, the county has an MOU with KRRC regarding the roads. For the maintenance work that was noted at mile marker 13, which the road commissioners will speak to later on the agenda, the project coordinators are conducting work, or the project contractors, excuse me, are conducting the work, not the county, and it is being paid for by KRRC and not the county. Mr. Deeney, the road commissioner, will be up after me to give more of an update about the roads. So, throughout 2024, we will continue to have close communication with KRRC and our contractors on project activities and road maintenance. The county has had excellent communication with CDFW, who has been extremely helpful to county staff, and we will continue these communications in 2024. I would like to give a special thanks to Mike Harris, who is here today, as well as Director Bonham, for the work that they've been doing with us on the project. I will be in closer contact with RES, who, as some of the public has mentioned, is the restoration contractor on the project. Their restoration work is going to begin in earnest this year. In fact, it already has begun on the reservoirs. I will be working with them on county permitting, receiving project information, and working with them to assist the public on communication and restoration activities. There was an announcement at a meeting in COPCO in December that was held by KRRC and RES of a potential fence being installed along COPCO and Iron Gate reservoirs. The county has been in discussions with both RES and CDFW about this potential fence. CDFW may be able to provide additional details during their portion of this meeting, but at this time, it's our understanding that any fence that is put up for the project will follow the environmental documents. So they're going to follow the pre-approved documents, which states that the fence may be used to protect restoration areas, but are temporary and not large in scale. Throughout 2024, the county will continue to work with KRRC's public information officer, Ren Brownell, who you have met before. We had hoped for a public meeting at COPCO and with the Downriver communities in November. We apologize if that did not occur. KRRC wanted to host their own meeting, which they did in December. We are going to continue to try to work with them to have better communication, joint communication moving forward. However, any questions that arise from the public, KRRC has encouraged folks to reach out to Ren via email. Her email is ren@klamathrenewal.org. However, the public is always welcome to reach out to the county and myself at any time with questions and concerns. You can reach us at at co.siscu.ca.us. Thank you.
Thank fit?
Is that, I mean, okay. Do you want more?
Well, I'm sure there's a few questions up
yes.
here.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, a couple of things. I know this board has been actively asking for live coverage on what's happening. I get that there's no internet, but there is such a thing called Starlink. For $600 and $150 a month, you can somebody can be posting this live. I would support that, whether it's a KRRC or if the county, if we've got to come up with it. But I think residents here should be aware of what's happening live versus after the fact, because that after the fact thing creates too much dialogue on your part, our part, and KRRC. I mean, it just is a circle before it gets to the public. So I would advocate for that in whatever fashion we can get. With regard to this, I'll call it the sloughing on the road, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But are we monitoring what's taking place now at COPCO as well? There's homes closer to the lake there, I think. And I guess who's monitoring what effects could happen there?
You're referring to rim stability?
Yes.
Correct? Yeah. So there is a rim stability monitoring plan as part of the project. KRRC, their contractors, RES, are the ones that are monitoring for sloughing. There was a report that went out for December, right before the reservoirs came out, and as expected, there was no issues. We will be monitoring for the next report that comes out. It gets filed through the FERC website. We see it, we review it, and we will report if there are any issues. However, I would say that if you are a public member that is living along the reservoir and you see erosion and sloughing activities, to please report them, both to KRRC and to ourselves so that we are aware of it. But as far as I know, Supervisor, it is the project proponent that is doing that monitoring.
And is there an immediate contact versus just email, as in cell phone number?
For KRRC or for myself? Or
anybody. Because if something happens, it's not going to... email
Understood.
Is slow, even though it's instant. It doesn't mean like somebody's going to be monitoring it.
Understood. I can get you a phone number.
Okay.
We can get a phone number. I believe Ren's phone number is published. She's the PIO. I would like to check that before I make
okay.
it public, just in case.
And when we find that out, if we can make it public on our website as well,
yes,
so that people have an immediate contact,
yes,
especially with what's going on now. The flushing that's going to happen in February, what's the water impacts upriver? Where is that water coming from?
So that will be, so the plan is with COPCO coming out, it's going to refill Iron Gate. Now, it is my understanding that flushing is going to be from the water that's left over in the reservoir. If there is no water left over in the reservoir, the flushing is going to be from additional precipitation, is the plan, is my understanding.
Additional what?
Precipitation, rain.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Supervisor Oberyn.
The reports that go to FERC that we get notified of, if I remember right, there's quite a delay
yes,
in those reports. So by the time we know about that rim stabilization report, it's weeks to a month late.
Correct.
That's a long time for us to be notified of a problem.
That is correct.
How can we mitigate that?
So I have regular conversations, weekly conversations with KRRC's contractors. I'm in biweekly conversations with CDFW. We have weekly conversations, the county PIO and myself with Brent Bronwell. We can request that any additional information about rim stability gets reported to us immediately. That is a reasonable ask. I believe that the contractors would have no issue with that.
I would hope so. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Question, I have a lot of questions on the roads, but I'll wait until Mr. Deeney comes up.
Thank you.
In regards to 911 dispatch, is there coordination with Cal Fire 911 dispatch on road conditions, access, and those sorts of things?
Yes, sir. So if the road gets closed, they are notified. The road is not closed at this time. If the road needs to become closed for repairs, they will be notified. The road commissioner has been in very close contact with the sheriff. CHP has been contacted numerous times by KRRC regarding drawdown traffic, etc. We will continue to have close communication.
All right, thank you. And Supervisor Kopsak brought something up with the slapping. I volunteer on animals, so we get 911 calls. I would think that, you know, if someone's house is immediately going to follow, there's that threat. 911, unfortunately, is a contact number.
And it should be used.
And it should be used, yes. Absolutely. But it's not abusing it by any means. It's
not by any means.
Our house is going to fall down. This is a disaster. Trying to remember a 1-800 number or an email is difficult.
911. If there is an emergency, dial 911.
And then for access, are they putting in case there is a fire of some sort, are they putting in dry hydrants and those things yet?
So that is part of the plan. I think a few have been installed. I don't think all of them have been installed. So for fire, and we could potentially have at the next board meeting Francis Gill from the Kopko community to come speak to this, because he's been in close communication with KRRC about resources. But it's my understanding that there are dry hydrants going in, there are water tanks going in all up and down the river for fire suppression and safety.
All right. And then if you get the latest figure, there was a meeting on the Klamath issues, and it was reported that only 10 or 14,000 acre feet was going to be saved in Klamath Lake from all that resulting in the water being flushed out. Do we have any updates on what that water volume is?
I do not, no, but I can find that out for you.
That's all for me. Thank you.
Supervisor Howe?
Thank you. I got a list.
I'm sure you do.
First, I have a little turbidity. I've asked you to try and track down the data. I don't know what the secrecy is. Remind the public here that I've been monitoring the USGS gauge at SIAD for turbidity since the gate was open on the 16th. We had a very large spike. It continued until the next board meeting, which I drew some attention to. The USGS gauge has been offline ever since.
I'm aware of the issue. I checked yesterday. It was still offline. I'm going to be contacting USGS to see when they're going to be back at the market.
I check it several times a day. With that said, I understand some of the tribes are doing water monitoring, and so is Rez. I want the county to have the data. I don't know what the secrecy is, but
the data should be is publicly available, but as Supervisor Oberyn had pointed out, that we are on a delay, so we can request that data sooner.
Thank you. Next I have is on the fencing. In a recent meeting with Supervisor Kopsak, I asked the Fish and Wildlife to check in on a number of things that I just want to make public for you, Chelsea, and that. I've asked whether or not there was coordination with Siskiyou County Range Board, the grazing panel that we have set up here that handles grazing issues in the county because there's open range, and there are BLM, Forest Service, and other allotments involved with that up there. And I'm one who wants to make sure that that process is followed.
Understood. With the So as we understand it, there was some maps and other information shared about this potential fence to keep out horses and livestock from the restoration areas on the reservoir. That preliminary plan has changed. As I noted earlier, the res will have to follow the established environmental plans, which state that it's temporary, smaller scale fence to protect critical restoration areas. We will make sure that any fencing gets coordinated with the Ag Board and the Commission. I will work with WetRes on that, but I think in terms of the potential maps and other information that has been shared, that plan has changed. So hopefully some of the concerns and questions that came up from that preliminary project plan have now shifted because of the scale has been scaled back and the fence is temporary.
Even temporary, I'm still concerned about the cutoff of livestock water.
Yeah, understood. We'll make sure that they're coordinating with the Ag Commission.
Next, we haven't talked about this, but I just saw a press release not too long ago about acorns that were collected and transplanted up there in part of this re-education plan. I don't know if any protocol is put in place to verify where the seed came from. I'm particularly concerned about acorns that may have been collected on the coast and transporting sudden oak death syndrome into the county, which we currently don't have. And we need to follow up on that.
I will follow up on that. That should be something that, RES would have tracked where seeds were collected from. I will get that information over to you.
Okay, because it is prevalent on the coast.
That, understood.
And then I'd like to know what the protocol is for OES notifications should something go wrong.
Sure, and I believe, is Brian here? I think Brian from Emergency Management can come up and speak to that. He's been in he's been in close communication with KRRC and other emergency organizations on the Emergency Action Plan, and so I think he can speak a little bit more to the notifications.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Schinone, Director of Emergency Services for Siskiyou County. So I've been involved with the initial EAP. So once the EAP came to me for revision, myself and our state representatives reviewed it and sent it right back. It wasn't to our liking. So have been in the process since the beginning of the EAP, and which is now the drawdown final version that has been released. We have been intricate part of that. So to make sure that all of our notifications go through 911 dispatch, the sheriff, through Cal Fire, the YIC, and then myself. And then I didn't like the way they had their notification protocol. A lot of it was through KRRC and through RES when it needs to come through us, which is the one who is going to be dispatching. Basically warning and alert as needed. So we were able to do that, fix that, and then work alongside of Humboldt as well, so, and Delaware County for... Yeah, well, I pretty much wrote most of it, so I think it's pretty solid. So.
Thank you. And I just want to...
make sure it's right, right yourself.
My last comment is I just want to urge this board that I think we should do a periodic update of what we're observing with FERC in written form from this body to FERC directly.
Thank you.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Mr. Nielsen, did I not share some information that came from the Crook Tribe regarding flows and turbidity with you? I think you should share that with the board because that addresses what you one of your concerns. It's public information. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I got it, I don't know why the rest of them didn't get it. Maybe we can follow up on that because you know we want to be transparent as to the extent we can. At least what I read, the turbidity, as always, is an issue. But I just came from Sacramento, and there's a lot of turbidity in the Sacramento River right now. So I think the more we know about that, the better off we're going to be.
I'll share that.
And most of my questions are going to be on the road department, so I'm good for now.
Okay. Anything further?
I just have one more comment. Kind of to go back to the reporting part of this. I've had issue from the start about the reporting process and the delays from work being done to the time the reports for KRRC to FERC and then back around from FERC getting back to KRRC, and the fact that we haven't been privy to most of that information, and if when we finally did, it was months late. And I still have issue with that. And I really want to see those reports. I want to make sure that we are getting those and that we're getting them in a timely fashion and that those reports from KRRC are getting written, noted, and public so that they're accountable for what they're doing. Everybody needs to know. This stuff should not be secret. We need to know, the public needs to know, FERC needs to know, because if there's something going wrong, they need to be held accountable, and they need to stop if something's wrong. And I'll stop there. That's all I need to say.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, I want a follow-up question. A gentleman named Dimitri, he spoke here earlier, had asked a question about the work hours.
Oh, yes.
And if you had any feedback on that, or if you have
Yeah, I my understanding is that work is going to continue 7 days a week. There has been discussion about night construction. I have asked for a schedule and not seen one yet, so I will make sure to follow up, see if we can get a schedule. We've also requested that night work that is being done, that there is ample notification to the community who live in the area so that they are aware that there is night work being done. I have not seen a public announcement about that yet, so I will make sure to follow up.
Thank you. That question had been asked at the Taco Town Hall, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was not present at that meeting, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further, Supervisor Howe?
No.
Supervisor Valens? No. No. Quick follow-up. What's, for instance, is FERC aware of the road problem that we're having?
Unclear.
So I think what we need to establish is something that FERC becomes aware of some of the issues that we're having, because I know the science and modeling said that everything was going to go without a hitch. Well, we came into a hitch, and I'm sure it's not the last one. So I want to be sure that this board is communicating to FERC in a fashion that keeps them apprised of some of the issues that we're coming up against. Number one is that the county is not in a position, funding-wise, to mitigate any of the issues that are going to come up with this whole process.
Yeah, no, that's understood. I will work with county staff on finding the best avenue for communication with FERC. What we don't want to do is what Supervisor Oban had stated, which is send a request and wait months to
right.
hear back.
Right?
Right. So we'll explore some avenues, and we'll report back to the board.
Okay. And during the course of the decades that we've been working through this whole ordeal, there have been reports that, I'm not sure what to call it, but at COPCO in particular, that there was, I'll call it a barrier, a falls per se, that did not allow fish to get above that barrier. Unless it was spring run, I guess, would be the, if there was enough water to carry them over that. How will we know, or will we know, the potential of, if that's actually true, with the destruction of COPCO? Will that show? And if it does, is there a plan to blow a hole in it to open it up?
That's a good question. Yes, and I'm also aware of that structure. So it's been referred to in documents as the reef, as a barrier, as a limestone deposit. There's been various ways that it's been referred to. Whether or not we're going to see it, likely not now. The reservoirs still have 5, 10, 15 feet of mud, right? These have been up a long time. There's a lot of detritus. There's a lot of mud that is accumulated in the sediment. We may see it after the removal of COPCO. We may see it after the first couple of years of rain on the fully flowing river, right? So that's going to be up to observation as we move forward. If there is an observation made of that, I will let the board know.
Okay.
At this time, I do not believe that there is any plans for addressing that.
Okay.
However, that is something that would need to be addressed at a later date if it becomes an issue. And I am sure that the resource agencies that are responsible for management of fisheries would definitely be looking into that, because aquatic organism passage barriers are an issue. And groups like CFW, NOAA, others, they deal with AOP barriers all the time. So I'm sure that they would be able to handle it if it came up.
Okay. Thank you. We will move on to item 5. Oh,
is it okay to maybe break it up with each section for the
take
audio?
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
That would
That's
be
fine.
Great.
Or if you just want to...
Just a couple minutes.
Couple minutes?
Yeah. I just want to run.
Recess for...